language, it means from above. So it's a second birth. And if you're born twice, you only die once. Did you hear what I just said? So if you're born of the flesh and then you get reborn, regenerated, then you also then are setting yourself up to be born of the Spirit, which replaces the flesh. And so you're no longer you. You've become someone else. That's the way the Bible talks about it. And so since you're not you, you're Christ in you, you, and that's a different you. You, my name is James, that was a cheater, and someone who supplanted somebody else and so on and so forth. But they, I think they named me well, because now I'm in love with Jesus and I'm no longer me again. And that happened 50 years ago. And when that happened, in a nanosecond, I changed my whole life, just like that. I knew that I knew that I knew that God loved me. I never thought that thought ever in my whole life. I didn't know if there is a God or not a God. It didn't matter to me. It was irrelevant to my life. But from that moment on, I'm totally sold out to Jesus. I'm not myself. And so Christ in me, that's my hope of glory. When you have Christ in you, that was not your decision. That was God's decision to love you as you are. Not fixed up, not cleaned up, not being a wonderful person, but just being a sinner who repents. A sinner is someone that says, I don't know what my sins are, but I'm sure I have some. You don't really have to know. And every once in a while, it's obvious. Every once in a while, you realize, I'm not God. I'm not God. And God created you in the first place to be like God, but he never created anyone to be God. Otherwise, he'd have rivals. And it's not even possible because there's only one God and there can't be two gods and three gods and 50 gods and 5 billion gods. So there's only one God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. They're one because they always agree. And that's hard for people. So since life teaches you the opposite, you'd have to say on the flesh, and that has a big list in Galatians about that fifth chapter, a third chapter, and then the fifth. But anyway, all of that is to say you were made for liberty. And America is the first nation in the world that got a hold of that. There's not another nation. Not another nation. And even Israel couldn't understand that. They believed in liberty, but it was just temporal. And so when Jesus comes back again, he will then celebrate that they get their land back. But many Jewish people who are Orthodox do not really care for heaven. They're not really thinking of going to heaven. Now, Ginsburg said, you know, I'm going to heaven. And that's all right, because they picked that up from us Christians, because all the New Testament is heaven. Everything about the New Testament is heaven. But actually, it's hidden in the Old Testament because everything is about heaven in the Old Testament. The earth should always be governed by heaven. And our life personally should be governed by heaven. And when we love somebody else, that actually was Jesus. So if you love your neighbor as yourself, you would think that was a good work. But actually, it is a good work, but Jesus did it. And so you are not the actor, you are a reactor. You are not the actor you think you are. I'm brilliant, I'm smart, I'm handsome, I'm beautiful, whatever. And actually, the Bible says you're a nothing. Apart from me, you can do nothing. So in the Bible's view, you're a person actually that's dead. because of sin. Because of Adam and Eve sinned, so that you have all that sin in you. And a lot of people like to change all these words. But all I can say is the truth and the whole truth and nothing but the truth. I don't believe we should fancy anything up or fix it up or change it. I'm totally against novelty. 100%. And I will die that way because I'm living that way. But at one time I was sinful. And it no longer is me. And I know that's not me anymore. How do I know it? I don't know. I just know it. Because the Bible says so. Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. And so whatever the Bible says, that's it. And I'm not changing anything. And you might think I won't make it, but I will. Because I believe that God does everything. 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 To God be the glory. So since he does everything, soli Deo gloria, that's in the Latin language, and that means to God be the glory. You don't get the glory. So what do you get? Nothing. You get nothing. But since Jesus wants to marry you, your marriage is a good one, because he wants to adopt you. His adoption is very good. And then you're born again, so that's very good. So you can come into the family of God by birth, by being adopted when you're an adult and fully grown, or you can get it by marriage, being of age. And so the Bible looks at everything in a funny way. So Jesus, when he came to town, he was so excited. He was excited because he knew he came as a king. And he even told his disciples, you see that city over there? You go over there and there'll be a colt and with a donkey, and bring them. And the man, you'll see it's right over there. And you just go over there, and if he says anything to you, then you realize, say, the master has a need for the colt and the donkey. And so he wanted to be humble because he read it in the Old Testament. It's in the Old Testament that if you're meek and mild and you're not really trying to be a big shot, you don't ride the white horse. When he comes back again, he will be God, and he's the only God that God was in Christ. Even God was in Christ, reconciling the world to himself. So since God was in Christ, and you also are in Christ, now you're in Christ, whether you like it or not. But it's something you can choose, but actually God chose for you. He actually chose it. And he then is the one you're reacting to when he says you're a new creation. I'm a new creation. I'm a brand new man. Old things are passed away, perfect past. I've been born again, perfect present. Perfect is only used when it's referring to God. No one else is perfect. None of you are perfect. Some look perfect, but they could be deceptive. Trust no man. Trust no princes. In other words, don't trust or pastors. Don't trust pastors. And since I'm a pastor, you can trust me, it's okay. No, you can't. And so all we can do is preach the gospel, and you read the Bible for yourself. And it comes by hearing. It doesn't come by understanding. Well, I didn't understand that verse. That doesn't make any difference whether you understood it or not. He spoke it objectively. In other words, whatever God says about you, that's who you are. If he says you're a sinner, you're a sinner. If he says you're a saint, you're a saint. So he offers that, and you can take a hold of it because it's perfect. Perfect sacrifice. So Jesus wanted you to walk a holy life. How many here are walking a holy life? By faith, yeah. So that's the only way you can do it. Because you never did what you thought you did. Jesus did that for you. And so Jesus now lives inside of you. And after he died, now he's living inside of you, removing all your sin. So your sin is no longer scary. Your sin is normal. How many know that? It's not, when you sin, it's nothing. That's just your imagination, vain imagination. It's a silly thing. I don't know if I believe in God. That's just silly stuff. Atheists, they don't even exist. The fool says in his heart there's no God, but there is. And so they're a fool because they've been fooling themselves. They deceive themselves, then they deceive others. I'm an atheist. By the way, that didn't show up in the ancient world at all. And it didn't show up in the medieval world, even though they acted atheist. It doesn't make any difference. But in the modern world, we know that whatever Jesus did for us on the cross was to, that's the end of this week, the end of this week, next Sunday. That will be, he rose early in the morning. And when he rose early in the morning, then if he rises, you rise. But you'd have to believe that that's the truth. And how do you do it? You don't. You just simply read it. It says it comes by hearing. You just read it. And if you just read it without understanding, without wanting to do it, without feeling like anything, you just read it. It doesn't qualify it. Read it and try to understand it. There's nothing to understand. It's crazy. If you read the Bible, it's crazy. It says that a holy God loves unholy people. That's crazy. It doesn't make any sense. Why would a holy God love unholy people? That's all he has. Everybody is unholy. You were born in sin. You were conceived in sin. So you've been a sinner your whole life. But now you're a saint. And if God says you're a saint, you're a saint. And you know, I don't even know about it. But he says I'm a saint, I'm a saint. So there is no, to the sinners at Rome. No, there's no, nothing in the Bible like that. And so wherever you go, God loves you and he'll never change his mind. Once he loves you, he can't change. He can't be mutable, changeable. He is immutable. It's impossible for him to change. Once he says, I love you, he can't let go of you. I mean, he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. So it doesn't change. God, did you change your mind? I sinned 3 times yesterday. He can't change. When he loves you, he loves you, he loves you. So he died for everybody. He didn't just die for good people, because there aren't any. There's never been any good people. Amen? So don't trust in people. Don't put your trust in people. That's why there's divorces and all that kind of stuff. Because he wants you to be happy all the time. Rejoice in the Lord always. I'll say it, rejoice. When you say it twice, that means it's fixed. It's fixed in heaven. So when God says, I will never leave you or forsake you, that means he'll never leave you or forsake you. What if I'm crying out to him, hey, God, the administration's doing bad. He can hear that, but what he wants you to do is pray for him. He doesn't want you to say they're bad. How many know they're bad? But you don't have to know that. You don't have to know that. I hate them. It doesn't make any difference. I hate my husband. I hate my children. I hate everybody. So it's silly stuff. How many know that God died so that you'd never have to face the consequences of what you just did? All he has for you is heaven. Now, if you don't believe, you don't believe. Now, unbelief is not what you think it is. Unbelief means you believed but decided not to believe. Deliberate act. Not to believe, even though you could. You decided not to do it. So unbelief is choosing not to believe in Jesus Christ. So in other words, the Jewish people knew that Jesus was the Son of God. They knew it. But they refused to do it as an unbeliever. So a lot of people, you think, well, they never heard of Jesus. That's not what it's talking about. When you're an unbeliever, it isn't that you never heard about him. That's different. An unbeliever is someone that believed but never then decided, I want to go all the way with Jesus, because they didn't want to. And so they just deliberately did it. Now, where's the problem? Since you don't do anything anyway, where's the problem? It's in the church. If the church were the church that Jesus created, if the church were the church that Jesus created, then the cold Christian, an atheist, the cold Christian could be one just like that. But the church is not the church today. It's given over to the enemy. It's lukewarm. Kliaros. Because of that, what's happening right now in our world, you see, the whole world is watching America, seeing how we'll come out. Will we go back to the Constitution, go back to the Bible, whatever. And so they're worried about us because it's going to change the world forever. This is a wake-up call for the church to become not lukewarm, but to become hot. Because the hot church, there's only three. You're either cold, lukewarm, or hot. So if that's the case, that hot church can then live in such a way that you don't see the person, you see that person loves Jesus. That's passion. That's passion. Because you said, hey, I just trust God. I don't even know anything about him. I just trust him. That's faith. Your faith is not in yourself. This world teaches today, know yourself. You can't. You can't know yourself. God already defined you, sinner. So everybody's dead. Not only are you a sinner, you're a dead sinner. Meaning, you are alive to this world. And as long as you believe in this world, you don't believe in God. What are people, the people that you meet every day, they love this world. They want this world to work. They want life in life. You're not going to get it. You'll never get it. Life is not what it's, you know, called. You know, hey, I want to get, I'm a certain age. I want to get married. I want to do this. I want to do that. And so on and so forth. Well, it probably won't be what you're thinking. And you'd say, well, when I marry, I'm going to be sincere. That's great. That's good. But it's foolish. God has to put that love in you for somebody else. Because God is love. And everything God does is loving. To even the wickedest person. He is not angry at the wickedest person. You think he is because the Bible is mistranslated. It's not. He loves everybody. He died for everybody. He did not just die for Jewish people or for Muslim people or for anybody. He died for everybody. And he's ready to forgive Muslims, Catholics, Protestants, witchcraft people, Satanists. He doesn't care. God does not care about sin. If he did, he's in trouble. Because all he has is a bunch of sinners. And so he has to love everybody unconditionally. No condition. Isn't that amazing? If there's no condition, what can I do to get on the right side of God? Nothing. You can't do anything. Well, at least I went to church. Yeah, good. You get to hear the word. Faith cometh by hearing. But you can read it, the Bible, all on your own. You can read it at home. So Palm Sunday is the day that he came into town as the king, riding on a donkey. And one of the first thing he did, I'm reading out of Matthew, the 21st chapter. And you can follow right along. He saw these two blind men, which would be like everybody. And later he'll develop this as we keep going in this chapter. So he saw two blind men, and they said, and everybody said, hey, be quiet, be quiet. This is Jesus. And they were no. The blind people, they couldn't see, so they just said, no, have mercy upon us. And Jesus went and healed their eyes, just like that. Just healed their eyes. The two of them. And so he came to give you good news. There's good news. They were blind without even asking anything. They just simply said, we're blind. What can I do for you? The reason I'm here is to do something for you. What? I'm blind. Could you open my eyes? Just like that. He just did it. There's nothing. He didn't do mud. He didn't go to the Siloam, water place. He just did it. And how many know God can do anything in a second? Or in a nanosecond? I mean, he can do anything, get you born again. If you've never fallen in love with Jesus, he can do that in any time you want. Just say, hey, I don't even know what this thing says, but it sounds good to me, and I believe. But I don't even know what I'm believing. It takes a lifetime, actually, to read through the Bible over and over and over again, right? Since it takes a lifetime, you're not going to grow up overnight. It'll probably take a week or two before you get rid of all your sin. And some people, maybe 3 weeks. But for most of you, it doesn't take anything because there's nothing you can do. It's all in Jesus' hands. He's got the whole world in his hands. He's got the whole world in his hands. He loves Chinese people. He loves Japanese people. He loves everybody. He's not angry at anybody. But the church is not hot today, so nobody can see God because they're looking at you. They're looking at you, and they're saying you're a hypocrite or you're a liar or whatever. That's what's dividing our nation right now, is the people in charge hate some of the people that are Christian, or hate them because they're moral or because they're do-gooders or whatever they are. Who cares? Whatever it is, they're your brother. Those people are your brother. Shem, Ham, and Japheth. Everybody is born of Shem, Ham, or Japheth, or intermarriage, two of them, or three of them. But those brotherly problems right today is that you never get the black people to like the white people, to like the colored people, to like this and like that. And so we can't live together. Why? And the leaders in the one party wants you to identify yourself in a group rather than as an individual. They hate individuals. They don't like individuals. Even though they're greedy individually, they don't want to say that. They want to say, do I belong to this group? And so on. So they divide people up. And amazingly, even in America, we bought into it. We bought into it. Rather than just saying, they're just sinning. All they're doing is sinning. So you can love them. So every day I pray for Biden. I pray for Hillary. I pray for Obama and so on and so forth. And so every day I pray for them, of course, because I can pray for my enemies. How many know that you want to pray for your enemies because that's the only thing that will be hot? So you actually love people that don't love you. Isn't that amazing? But Jesus came into a world that hated him. And before this week is out, next Sunday, he's gonna die on Friday. He'll die. Somebody will kill him. It's over. And Pilate didn't want to do that. Pilate tried three times to release him. And he went to the accusers, the Jewish people, and he said, I don't find any crime in this man. He has not broken any Roman law. So Rome was not against Jesus. Did you just hear what I just said? So Rome isn't the bad guy, or Assyria, or Egypt, or whatever. No, it's not that. It's not that. The devil's trying to tempt everybody to hate somebody and be angry at somebody. Everybody today is looking for a scapegoat. Somebody that said, hey, boy, if they come on Texas, I'll move to... Where are you going to move to? This is the only state that you could possibly love freedom in and go all the way. Yeah, so you don't want to go to California. You don't want to go to, New York. You don't want to go to, Chicago and so on and so forth. But the point is, they're people that Christ died for. So you have to pray for your enemy. Did you know that God, all he had on earth is enemies? Did you know that? Adam and Eve sinned, and that original sin has passed down to everybody else. How many know you'll sometimes do something that you know is bad, but you want to do it anyway? You know, like have an argument with somebody that you're married to or something. You know, every time it's no good. And I say to myself, now don't argue next time. And then, but Peggy has that way of getting right to my heart, you know, and just, well, I have to answer that. And then I realize that was a sin. So right after that, I have to say, Peg, I was wrong. You were right. Forgive me. Wow. Then she says, good. I was right. You were wrong. How many know that the man should be the one that bears the burden? The woman should be the one that gets the blessing. And so now we are happier. We're not completely happy, but we're happier. The only way you can be completely happy is to be in love with Jesus. That's hot. That's passionate. That's a fire. And this fire can not only... fire can do two things. One, it can destroy wood, hay, and stubble. Or it can purify spiritual people. People that are born of the Spirit, it can purify you until you have no sin. But that might not happen today. That might be postponed to his second coming. He's going to come back as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. He already is that right now. He's at the right hand of God. And he's sitting on the throne. But he's your God, and you can't see him. That's why it takes faith. Faith means you can't see it. Faith means you can't see it. So everything about our religion, unlike every other religion, is not under a law. They're under a law. We're not under law. We're under grace. I like being under grace because grace means he's favoring you. He likes you. He wants to do it for no reason at all. He doesn't have to have any reason. He just likes you. And he wants everyone to know that. But his church today is not his church that he would say, that's my church. Because the church, as a gathering, is sinning. And we're hating bad people. Don't love them. Bless them. Pray for them. Do good for them. Never curse them. That's the way because it says so in the Bible. So if you do exactly what the Bible says, it'll kill your flesh. Did you know that? When you're nice to somebody that wasn't nice to you, do you understand what I'm just saying? It kills your flesh. You know, you want to smack them or hit them, I mean, in a Jesus way. It's somebody. Yeah, right. So... The point is that God is trying to show you every day you can be like God, but you can't be God. You want to do that good work, you're not going to do it. You just deceived yourself. Why do the people that run the world, people that are, you know, Biden and all that kind of stuff, they're running the world right now. And why do they rage? They're rageful people. Did you know that? They are. They're rageful. Why? And you could be like that. But don't hate them. Love them. That's what they need. And then the world would get along with each other. How many know that's going to happen before Jesus comes back? Or just as Jesus comes back? You'll have a new heart, new soul, new body, new walk, new everything. You're already that. This is a description of you. Everybody here is loved by God just the way you are. Don't fix up. Let Jesus fix you. And that could take a while. Because he has to get rid of all your sins. And some of you have probably 2 sins or 15 sins or maybe 5,000 sins. It's really hard for people to get along with anybody else because we just react to people. We react to people rather than love them. And this is from your heart. It has to be you have a new heart. God, I need a new heart. He gave you that, but you don't see it. He gave you that, but you don't see it. So don't wait to see it. Just go ahead and believe it right now and do it. Just based on, he says, your perfect wife for Walter, and Walter's a perfect husband for you.
Oh, yeah, amen.
Amen. Amen. Yeah. Yeah. Because it's the truth. And this is the truth that'll set you free. He says, you'll be my disciples and you'll know the truth, and the truth will set you free, make you free. So everybody here is a lover. Could I hear an amen?
Amen.
I'll say that again because I didn't think I got everybody. Everybody here is a lover.
Amen.
Amen. You know, why? Because you are. Because that's what Jesus did. The only reason he came is to change you so that you're saved. You're saved. And so when it says you're delivered or saved, it just means he wants you to be mature. And he's the one that starts you out in chair 4, so you believe in Jesus. Then chair 5, and you don't believe in yourself. And then chair 5 is you have to go through some hellish things and suffering things. And that's wonderful. How many love going through problems? Because they're everywhere. How many know that this world is full of problems? Everywhere you look, there are enemies. There are people that hate you. They're jealous of you. They're envious of you. Or they want to just kill you because you're a person. I mean, it doesn't make any difference. However it is, learn to love people just the way they are. God was blind when he came downstairs and Jesus saw the things we were doing. And he saw it. And he says, I love that person. That's what changes you. His love changes you. His presence changes you. His death on the cross changes you. And that's all he wants to do. That's why he shed his blood. So by Friday of this week, he'll be on a cross. He'll be on a cross. And he starts in the part of the day, and then he goes all the way until he's dead. And when he's dead, then they put him on a cross, throw him into the oven, because they are now preparing as Jewish people for the Passover. And you have to put that bread in the oven. And so Jesus was the bread of life. Did you know Jesus was the bread of life?
Yeah.
I mean, it doesn't make any sense when he says, I'm bread. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that constantly is coming out of the mouth of God, pleasant, active, indicative. Most real grammatical statement in the whole Bible. So everything he wants, present, active, indicative, that's who you are. Say, I'm a Christian. Okay, that was two people. But let's have, I am a Christian.
I love Jesus.
With all my heart.
All my soul.
All my body. Now, someday you'll see it. What you believe today, someday you'll see it. And you'll be ashamed. Say, wow, I should have known this years ago. But, you know, it takes a while to get used to people. Because they're awfully much like you. Did you know that? People are just like you. And sometimes, you know, you may say something silly like, I wish everyone would be like me. I wish everybody be like me. I'm so nice. I go to church. I tithe. You know, I bake cakes for people. Whatever people do. How many know that God is not even interested in your behavior at all? He never cares about your behavior. He only cares about your heart. If he gets your heart, he got everything. If with Christ Jesus, he freely gives you all things, gift, 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 gift. So repentance is a gift. Faith is a gift. Everything is a gift. It's just a gift because it's the truth, and that will set you free. So we're the only country in the world that decided that liberty would be the foundation of our government. And so in Texas, we're a free and independent state. Did you know that? It's in the Bible. It's in the Bible, but it's also, they said it. Because in Texas, we had to fight Santa Anna and finally defeated him. And he was so defeated that he was ashamed of himself. And because he was going to own Texas forever and ever. And in 18 minutes, we got it all there. And from then on, we've been owning Texas and nobody can take it from us. That's amazing. And so there's all kinds of things floating out there. They're like, let's secede from the United States. Then we can do our own thing. Or let's do this. Or they have all kinds of solutions. I wouldn't listen to them. I'll bet you God has a better idea. I'll bet you if you just bloom where you're planted right now, love people, be blind. Who is blind but my servant? Old Testament, Isaiah. Who is blind but my servant? So I don't see people's sins even though I see it. I'm looking at something and I'm not seeing what I'm seeing. I'm seeing through it. I'm seeing right through your sin to the crown that's on the other side of the cross. So I see through the cross, and then I see beyond that a crown waiting for me. And that's an incentive. Because God says, I want you to live in heaven with me forever and ever and ever and ever and ever, world without end. No beginning, no ending. How many know that's where you're headed? That's your destiny. Your destiny as a Christian, no other religion can do this. No other religion can do this because they're under a law. And there's no law in heaven. The only law in heaven is the law of liberty. James. Or the law of righteousness. Yeah, those are laws. But they're not laws like there's a consequence to it. No, the consequence has already been died for with Jesus. He died for the whole world. He died for everybody. So this week is interesting because the first four days, you bought a lamb on the first day. And you bought this lamb, and if it has a blemish, you can't sacrifice it because it has a blemish of some sort. So they have to examine it for 4 days. What that's talking about is not the lamb. It's talking about Jesus. They had to examine Jesus 4 days. When he came to town, and the Jews were scared because they realized, wow, the whole world's going after this guy. Because little children were singing, Hosanna to the Son of David. He's born of David, I don't know. Because he's going to be a king. He's going to be the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Mm-hmm. Yeah, he is already King of Kings, and it can't be changed. Well, I don't think he should be the king. I'd like to be king. You don't want to be king. You don't want to be anything. Just be yourself. Let Jesus fix you. He is able to fix you into a saint just like that. Just like that. As I said, it really was a nanosecond. And if David Halverson were here, he was in Scottsdale visiting his children. And while he was there, he went to exactly the spot that I was walking up this hallway. It was flat, wasn't like this. But anyway, there are four rooms on this side and four rooms on this side. So they don't do that anymore, by the way. But now they still have the same house and it's still in right there. But the whole city has grown up around them. So they were out in the desert, call it Canaan in the desert. Anyway, I was criticizing these ladies who were legalistic and so on and so forth. And I was saying, they're just legalistic and so on and so forth. So I was criticizing. And because I didn't care that I criticized them, because I criticize everybody. And don't you ever do that when you go to the airport or something? You see people, she's wearing that color doesn't look good on her. Instead of the stripes this way, they should be down like this. And I do that. I fix people up. Why are they bringing a dog like that on the airplane? And I don't know, I criticize people without even thought. It just comes to me, and everybody can be different. And I used to, as a kid, I would look out the car window, because I was a little kid, I'd look out the car window, and you'd see these signs, and I would Burma shave. Do you know what those are? Yeah. They're signs like 10, 12 of them. I don't know how many there are, but they have this sign that says something or other, then this sign says something or other. And so as a kid, because you couldn't speak in front of my parents, any adult, you could never speak to them. Never. Because you're German.
That's right.
Right? Germans. Yeah. Germans do that. Raus mit you! Yeah. So I learned, because that means go outside, get out of the house. So I learned, because my father was, 230, 50, pounds. And he said, the day you can take me, you can, do what you want. But the day you can't, and I realized I probably am never going to accomplish that. And so, he was rigid. And he had all kinds of rules and laws and everything like that. He had to obey and, otherwise you go down. And we have basements up in the north, basements. And I had to go to the basement if I was bad. First of all, you get a spanking. And if you wiggle, if you even cry at all, you get spanked twice. So, really. And so, whatever I did. Because I was always doing wrong. And then it was all coal. We had coal then. The coal goes through your basement window. It goes down into the basement. And then when I was bad, I had to live downstairs. And so he'd give you a quarter a week for allowance. That was the big allowance that I got. And then, but you had to do that. You had to have clean 1/3 of the house every week. Do dishes every other. Your sister does it one. You do the next one, and you had to do dishes. And then they had all kinds of rules and laws. Take out the garbage and all that kind of stuff. And I hated him. I despised that guy. I called him Adolf Hitler because he was German. And so, that's a bad thing. But anyway, I did it. And so I was always in trouble. And I was lazy. Has anyone here ever been lazy? I was just lazy. I just didn't want to do what he said. But if you didn't do it, you got spankings. So because of that, you can't get along with people. I didn't like him. I didn't like my second father either. I didn't even know I had a third father. That was a one-night stand. And, that was it. So everything in my life stunk. But I had an optimistic view of life. I was always happy, even though I didn't like the spankings. I was always happy. In fact, I was cheerful all the time because I only had myself to play with. And I always got along with myself, whatever I did. So how many know that no matter what happens to you, it's designed by God to allow it? It isn't that he wants it to. It's just that's what you need. You need chair 5. You need to die to yourself. Don't be God. Be like God. Don't be God. Be like God. So he doesn't want rivals. So I'm not a rival to him. And I know I've never done anything decent in my life until I went to Scottsdale, Arizona. So as I'm walking up the hall about this midway, I realize that God is in the room. And I've never seen him, never thought about him. I wasn't an atheist. I wasn't an agnostic even. I didn't even know enough to know anything. But I knew I'm not. But all of a sudden, I knew God loved me. 1 second, and I loved God. Equal. He loved me, and I reacted to his love. He first loved us. I was second. I reacted to that. And I fell in love with him. Now, that changed my life forever and ever. And after that, I knew, wow, I'm going to live for Jesus, and I'm going to die every day. Every day, I will not be Jim. I will be another person. I will be Jesus' slave. He has a thought, I'll think his thoughts. He has an idea, I'll think his ideas. And I'll say it. And it changed my life forever. And so I decided, I was already a pastor, but I was a bad pastor. I was totally a fake. I totally faked it. But all I had to do was plagiarize the Bible a little bit, and people liked it. And so I just read the Bible, and people liked it. So I knew it kind of worked, but I was deceiving them. But after that moment, I didn't do that anymore. I said, from now on, you don't run your life. You're going to do exactly what Jesus wants you to do. That'll kill your flesh. God, I don't want to do that. Can I do this? No. You just do what I say. No, you do your chance. I don't want to do it. How many here have sinned like me? 1, 2, 3, Danny. Who else? Oh, yeah. You know. Yeah, right. So everybody sins. There's nothing interesting about that. The point is, don't take yourself seriously. So when I sinned, I justified it. You know, well, I wanted to do it, so I did it. Did it have bad consequences? Yeah. But I didn't think about that because you're young. How many know young people are, you know, they're not going to die or anything like this. They just think, hey, there's a world out there, and I'm going to conquer that world. I didn't have any idea what I was talking about. But when I got to school, 22 years of formal training without kindergarten, I didn't go there. And then I realized I have head knowledge, but I never heart knowledge until that day in Scottsdale, Arizona. I knew from now on I'll have to serve Jesus with all my heart, soul, strength. Just do it by faith so I don't have to, you know, pretend. I just do it by faith. I don't have to see it. I just believe it. I'll just do it. And it works. It's amazing. So I began to go around the world in China, India, all kinds of places, Africa, all that kind of stuff, Europe. And so I would go there and preach, and people liked it because now I was a Christian, even though I knew I wasn't a very serious Christian. I knew I was not serious. But I did believe, and that's all he was looking at, my heart. He wasn't looking at my behavior. Because, by the way, when I did believe in Jesus, he asked me a question. I said, God, I now believe in you. Good start, chair 4. And he said, now, would you like me to be your Lord? You mean, like, tell me what to do? No. That was my answer. No. And then I had to think of a way to, that's a wrong answer, but I had to think of a way to figure it out. Ah, you don't want me to start out lying, and I'm a liar. I'm a consummate liar, so I don't want to start with that. And I don't think you want me to either. And he never answered that question. He never said, I agree. But anyway, so I just assumed that God said, I can have him a savior, but I don't want him as Lord telling me what to do. Because I've always been a loner and done what I wanted to do. And so you don't want me to lie about it. I don't want me to deceive you. So I'm a Christian now, and I want to follow you all the way. And then he ruined my life after that because he wanted to send me to all these problems and troubles and so on and so forth. And praise him. I remember one of the first books I read, it was Power to Praise. Remember that, Eric? So Power to Praise meant this guy was a bad guy. And then he went to jail and God said, praise me. And he didn't want to do it. But anyway, one day he did it. And he realized, wow, I can praise him in any situation. Wow, I can praise him just for free because that's who you are. You're a Christian. Oh, yeah. Yeah, yeah. Okay. So how many know that Christians can forget that they're Christians sometimes? You can just forget, you know, and then sin, and then later you have to make it up. You know, Jesus, sorry. How many know that you're not really sorry? You're just saying that because you're supposed to. Anyway, so I never measured myself. I just simply was me. I wasn't another person. I knew I was another person, but I knew I wasn't acting like another person. But then, after a while, I began to get used to it, and I began to think, huh, this is good. What I've been doing is bad. It's evil. I'm not going to do that anymore. So Peggy can tell you it was a slow growth. And because I had this teaching that the man should have the burden and the woman should get the blessing like Jesus. Because Jesus took our burden. And then when he died, we died and all that kind of stuff. But then to be honest to God, tell him the truth, I had to realize, I don't always want to do what you say. Sometimes I see Fauci on the little screen, and I'll say, kill that guy, God. I'm sorry, that was not a pastor thing. So then I have to say right afterward, sorry about that, cancel that, cancel that. I'm just like the big tech people, cancel that person. So I realize that everything is totally blessed in this world. There's not a moment that I need to be sad. Nothing. I don't mean sad like psychological sad. I mean sad in my heart. Not talking about behavior. So I realize you can live this life, but you have to die every single day. And then you'll be perfected in love. Love is the greatest of these. Faith, hope, love. Love is the greatest. So I realize he wants us actually to be Christians on earth as it is in heaven. Whatever it is in heaven, you can do it on earth. That would be a hot church. If you had that idea that this church could be hot, wow, that'd be amazing, right? Because then we could touch the cold and they immediately convert, or the lukewarm and they don't want to convert. And he said, I spew you out of my mouth. I can't talk to you because I say be a Christian. He'd say, I already am one. But you're a hypocrite. And then you don't say that. I don't want you to say that. So you can sin and say, God, you know I'm a hypocrite. That's okay. He understands that. But you're being real. Don't fake it. So God wants the church to, it's his showpiece. It's his church. But what if it's cold? And that means, you know, I don't believe in God. I don't believe in God. Or what if it's lukewarm? Oh, yeah, I believe in God, but you're actually a hypocrite and a liar and lukewarm. So God wants you to be fired. Just like when Christ loved the church, so every man must love his wife. Oh, I love that scripture. I said, God, that's the right answer, but I don't think I could do that. I don't think I could do that. I don't have that habit. Because Peggy, when we got married, she said, I want you to say every day you love me. Why? I'm German. I mean, if I changed my mind, I'd let you know. But you can assume I love you, and I don't have to say it. I want you to say it. Well, maybe that's the way in your family, but that's not the way Germans do it. And so I didn't want to do it. But I realized you have to do it. So one day we were arguing, and this day we were arguing, so I was in a room way down at the end of the house, and Peggy was sitting right here, and we had an argument, and God said, go and tell your wife she was right, you were wrong, forgive me. And I said, I'm not going to do it. I'm not going to do that. I'm not. Yeah, you said you're a Christian? Yeah. And so I want you to obey that. I don't want to. I would have no respect if I did that. I'm not going to say she was right and I was wrong. Forgive me. I've never said forgive me to anybody in the whole world. Never. And so he said, no, and don't make a joke out of it. Just go down and sober. Just say, you were right, I was wrong. Forgive me. That's going to kill me. And so as I was walking up the hall, God said, no, don't be funny. Say it right. Gosh. Peg, you were right, I was wrong. Forgive me. And then I walked, I didn't want to stay. I couldn't stay. Because that was the first time I ever said that in my whole life. And as I was walking down the hall, I got halfway down, and I said to myself, that was the first decent thing you've done for anybody ever. It killed me. That killed me. But I realized I could do that again. That wasn't so bad. And then I began to grow after that, to realize, keep reading the Bible daily. And I didn't want to. I was a pastor, but I didn't want to do it. But then I began to do it, and I liked it. And I began to fall in love with the Bible, just the Bible, for the Bible tells me so. So I realized that's what he wants. So during this week, Friday is after Thursday. Thursday night was Passover. And you had 4 days to examine the lamb to see whether it was perfect, and then you prepared that for Thursday night. And so that's called Maundy Thursday. Now, after that, the next day, because that's the... How many know Hebrews don't think like we think? They think evening of the night before is how the day starts, though it's not daytime. And then the next day is part of that same day. So because it's on Thursday night, it's actually Friday evening. But we call it Thursday evening. And then the next day would be Saturday, would be on Friday after he's dead and thrown into the oven. Then, so I realized that, wow. So since you die Thursday night, then it has to be three nights. Thursday, Friday, Saturday. Because that's the beginning of a new day. Do you see what I'm saying? Probably can't follow that. But that's the way they do it. Evening and morning, one day. Evening and morning, one day. So now, after that, he died right then when he said, this is my body, which is given for you. This is my blood, which is shed for you. That's what he said that night during the Last Supper. And he said, I'll never drink again of the fruit of the vine until we meet in mid-heavens. I'll come down. You'll come up. That's what they call rapture, or what do you want to call it? So because of that, he said, when you get to heaven in the mid-heavens, not heaven, not singular heaven, plural heaven, stratosphere, atmosphere, all this kind of stuff. You can see part of it, but not the rest of it. Space, all that kind of stuff. And so ionosphere, all of those spheres are other heavens. And they're plural. There's not just one or two of them. There's more. And so when you go up there, that's the first time you'll taste wine that isn't made in California or New York. It's just made in heaven. And I didn't even know there were any vines up there. But you get to drink that upstairs because it's spiritual. Obviously, it's spiritual. I'm just drinking like little kids. You know, just kind of drinking. No, it's actually going to be, it's going to taste so good that you'll realize, wow, we don't have this kind of thing on earth. I'm glad I came to this wedding. And the wedding is us. All of us will be in that heavenly, you'll be the bride of Christ. You'll be totally the bride of Christ. How many men here have been a bride? No, nobody. So we're not the bride. I guess people do it now. They're crazy. But sorry about that, John. Sorry. So God wants you to drink this wine, and when you drink it, you realize, wow, this is really good. I think heaven is going to be good. And then you go up to highest heaven after that. But it takes a while. It's probably a little porch on it, you know, and you're there. But then when you go highest heaven, now you're what you are now. Did you know you are that now? It's a description of you. It's not a proscription. It's not a prescription. It's a description. This is who you are. A new man in Christ. Everybody here is a new man in Christ. You wouldn't even be here if you weren't. And so if you're a new man in Christ, then be what you are in Christ. Don't be what you are, but in Christ. Then you're a different person. So you're a new creation. The old has passed away. So by 4 days, they examined Jesus, and then the Jewish people were mad at Jesus because they said, the whole world's going after this guy. And they were on the brink, and they saw this crowd with waving those palms and then shouting out, Hosanna to the Son of David! Hosanna to the Son of David! And everybody is going to be a king. So this is the king coming, but he's just riding on a donkey. But he had to do it to fulfill Scripture, because he always did that. He always fulfilled Scripture. Whatever it says, do it. How many here do it? Every time you read something in the Bible, you went, I got to do that right now. I'm not talking about young people. I'm talking about adults. So when you do that, you have to have Scripture for what you do. And so he said, this is what I want you to do. And when you start doing it, after a while, you don't like it at first, but after a while, you begin to realize, this is my life. This is my whole life. I don't have anything but Jesus. I don't have two agendas. One, Jesus, best friend, only friend, totally. Savior, Lord, bridegroom. So I'll be with him forever and ever, and so you can start on earth. As in heaven, so on earth. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on heaven, on earth, as it is in heaven. So you can do that right now. Then you'd be hot. If you just did that, you'd be hot. So how many are ready to do that? Yeah. Because this is Christianity. Christianity is not, it's not really, it's like a lot of it's, you know, you're sweating. But this one here is peaceful. Is you just do this, and all of a sudden the peace will come, and you realize, this is the way I should have been all along. I should have done this. I'll be ashamed of that, but then I also know God's not wanting me to be ashamed. He's wanting me to rejoice that I grew up. I grew up. You know, people today aren't grown up because the church has not grown up. And if the church is not grown up, the world will not be grown up. We're the light of this world. We're the salt of this world. We are the dwelling place of the living God. We are the overcomers, and we've overcome everything, including the devil, the world, your flesh. Wow, that's powerful. So this week is rehearsing all of that, and then he dies, then you died, he's buried, you're buried, he rose from the dead, now you have a new heart. You have a new heart right now. You don't have an old heart. So go by your heart. That's what love is. Go by your heart. That heart is full of love. I want to live a holy life, a righteous life, a perfect life. I can't do the perfect yet until he comes back. But I can do the first two. I can say I have faith in him, and I have hope that when he sends me to the fire, I'll come out purified, not destroyed. My flesh will be destroyed. My spirit will go on in. And I can go all the way in to the Holy of Holies. It's way at the back in the western part on the Mediterranean Sea. When you do that, you realize God has wanted you to be this before you were born. Everybody. So there's no one can say no to you as long as you're not afraid to die. If you're afraid to die, you don't want to do this. But if you're not afraid to die, meaning to your flesh, your problem is not the other person, it's you, yourself. You don't want to be what God wants you to be. You want to be something else. No, he wants you to be exactly what you want to be. And now millions of people are blessed. They're blessed because you just did what he said to do, and it works. If it works in marriage, it'll work anywhere. If you could just love your wife as Christ loved the church, do you love her that way?
Yes.
Say that to her. As Christ loved the church.
Yes.
Amen.
Yes.
Perfect.
By faith.
Amen.
By faith.
Faith. All right. So, David, do you love your wife as Christ loved the church? Amen. Praise God. It's powerful. And can you be blind as a servant and overlook anything that she might do wrong? You say, I am blind. Louise, I am blind. I don't see any of your sin. Yeah. Anyway, if you can just work it out in your marriage, you've worked it out in your family, then you can work it out in your community, then you can work it out in the state, then you can work it out in the world. I'm just telling you, this thing actually works. And I know if you do it, you don't have to do it, but if you want to do it, I'm telling you, you change the whole world. Because the whole world will never be the same after this period of time. Everyone wants Trump to come back, and, you know, he could. It's possible. But I don't think we need Trump. I think we need Jesus. I don't think Trump, he's smart and he's really clever. However, I think what we need is Jesus. And he's invisible, so you probably wouldn't see him. And he always, that invisible hand that's working in this world to say, I will have a people, I will build my church, and the gates of hell will not prevail against her bride or it body. So we're the body of Christ, we're also the bride of Christ, we're also a description of who we were created to be in the first place. God has put up with us for 6,000 years. 6,000 years, we're now in the 7,000th year. He's got to come now. He's got to come now. We just don't know when. But we're in the season. And he then says, I want you to be my church, one that I could recognize as mine. Because everybody there is getting along with one another, even though it's killing them. It'll kill your flesh. But the flesh is what you need killed. That's why Jesus went through all that suffering, all that anguish, suffered under Pontius Pilate, all of that stuff that goes on. It all went on this week, the Holy Week. But when it's over, there's a new creation, kainakatesis, a new of a different kind, not like natural, not like this world, not like anything here, brand new from heaven itself. So what this week is all about is Hosanna to the Son of David. And everybody, even little kids, they didn't know what they were saying. They said, Hosanna, Son of David. They just, whatever they did, and they were waving those things. That's what they liked. They just waving those things, put that down. And people were taking their clothes off and putting them in the way of the donkey and so on and so forth. And that was an exciting day. And that's what scared, and this scares the Democrats. The reason they don't like Trump is because he promised and kept the promise. He promised and kept the promise. That's what they hate, because they promised and never kept the promise. Now they're in charge, and no one can stop them. Isn't that exciting? That's why Jesus needs to come down and say, hey, you're not going to build the Tower of Babel again. You can try, but I'll destroy it again. So the Tower of Babel was built, and he came down, confused their language, and all of a sudden, they began to destroy each other because they couldn't communicate. There's no way they could communicate. There's no way that you could fix this world. You cannot fix this world. All you can do is love your family. Speak to your neighbors. Just do that. So this is a prelude for next week when he's resurrected from the dead. And what that means is when he is a God of the living, he can't die. So even though he died, on the third day he rose again. So even though he died, and the same with you. When you start doing this, there's no one that can stop you. Because he promised through Abraham, he promised to give him a hope for the future. Faith, hope, father of faith, hope during all the problems, to be perfected in love. Boom. Right there. That's Christianity. All right. Who'd like to make a testimony? Yes. Okay. Let's pray for her. Colleen, Lord Jesus, we pray that you would cure her right now in Jesus' name, just like you did miracles whenever you came. Thank you, Lord God. Cause her to be in perfect health, not because we can do that. It's that you told us to do it, so we're just doing it. Heal her completely, and everybody said,
Amen.
Amen. God is good. Are you ready for miracles? Are you ready for signs? Are you ready for works that you didn't do? God will do them. He is able to bring anything together that's part now. I mean, right now, they're parted. He can break it. He can heal anything at any time. So you need a God that's a living God, a true and living God. And he can do anything. He's done a miracle for you, right? He's done a miracle for you. Done a miracle. He's in the business of doing miracles. Why? He does that. We can't do them. We can talk about them, but we can't make them happen. But God says, just do what I say, and I will multiply it. I will not just do it, what you said. I'll do more than what you said. You'll have 12 baskets full left over after I've fed everybody and they're satisfied. God is God. Maria, God is your God. And he is in love with you and your family. So we pray for your two boys. In Jesus' name, we pray for Ricky and we pray for James. We pray for them that they will be powerful men of God. Powerful men of God. And everybody said, amen. Amen. So any problems that you have, anything, and he likes problems, but he can solve them. You can't. So just take them to God. And he can do anything he wants. He can spit in the mud. He can do anything he wants to heal your eyes or ears or anything. So don't look for the miracle signs and wonders. Don't look for them. They don't last long. Just simply pray for it, and that's all you need. Learn to love Jesus because he's your Savior. He's your Lord. He's your bridegroom. Hope you're blessed today. Anyone want to make a statement? Right.
And it's come up in family conversations.
Right.
Yesterday.
Right.
People don't understand
that. Right.
Sin is no issue.
Right.
It's only, like you're saying, it's only the heart, it's not behavior.
Right.
And if people can get that, then they can easily forgive.
Yeah.
Get past and get free.
Right.
They're stuck in bondage because
perfect.
They're so stuck on everybody else around them.
Right.
Up,
right.
They're just not free.
I love it.
In my family, our family, there's a lot of exposure this last week on we're not free. Yeah.
Right. I love it.
God's good.
Too powerful. Who else?
Was Catherine Boone before or after?
Before or after?
After.
After. Yeah. That's when I began to grow. Yeah. That was a supernatural miracle. That was powerful. Yes. That's it. Exactly. Yeah. He can do anything. These people went through hell, but they're in heaven right now. I mean, they always have been. So it's powerful. And God can do anything. Trust him. He can renew anything at any time. It's not hard for God. All he wants is miracles to happen. He does them so easily. Because he's perfect and we're not. He doesn't have any sin in him. There's no sin in Jesus. Pilate never found any sin in Jesus Christ. Three times he went and argued to the accusers and said, he hasn't done anything wrong. He's not broken any law that deserves death. So you're not going to get anywhere. I believe that Pilate, that day when he said this to Jesus Christ when they were together, he realized, you've certified by telling me your soldiers, your followers, will never bribe me and will never take up arms against me. So we're a peaceful religion. No other religion is. All other religions, I don't care what they say or do, they're violent because they don't like you inside, they don't like you outside. Okay, all that happens is just the church, just the church, just the church. If the church is a hot church, that's all Jesus has ever wanted. Because then you grow. And you love everybody. You can't not love. You have to love. Meaning, you can't do it, but he'll do it for you. He'll do it for you. Yes, Teresa. Okay.
COVID. She got the shot last week, then she got COVID.
Okay.
And she doesn't know Jesus. She's in the hospital.
Evelyn?
Ellen.
Okay. Lord Jesus, we just pray for Ellen right now in the name of Jesus Christ, Jesus of Nazareth, who is now King of Kings and Lord of Lords, and he's coming back. Touch Ellen right now in Jesus' name. She has COVID, but COVID is nothing. It's nothing to you. And you are the balm in Gilead. You are. We have a joyful heart. The merry heart doeth good like a medicine. Let it happen for Ellen. In Jesus' name. Amen. And amen. Anyone else? Larry. Maybe you're just waving your arms. Praise God. Amen. Praise God. Praise God. All right. Anyone else? All right. Well, God is good. And this week is a holy week to God. Let it be a holy week for you. That you know that God loves you without condition and that he doesn't see your sin. He doesn't see your sin. He can see it without seeing it. The secret things belong to God. He knows all those things. There's nothing new under the sun for God. The world is just exactly the same as it was when Adam and Eve sinned in the garden. It's exactly the same. We haven't changed a bit. But God came down. That's a change. That's a change. He came down and became a man so he could die for you so that you won't have to die ever again. You're going to live forever and ever, world without end. All right. Lord Jesus, we just pray that those that are watching on whatever it is, Facebook or whatever we have, I thank you, Lord God, that you are giving us favor. Not because we deserve it. We don't deserve anything. We deserve death. But you don't want us to die because you're the God of the living. So thank you, Lord God, that the best has been saved to the last. And we give you all the praise in Jesus' holy name. Bind us together, Lord, in love. Bind us together to love ourselves and love our neighbor as we love ourselves. In Jesus' name, let us begin so that we are your church, not our church. This is your church. And let us have victory after victory after victory, because the best has been saved. Amen and amen. I love y'all.
Wunderbar.
Wunderbar. Wunderbar. All right. Love ya.
You.
Yeah.